For those who were here with us yesterday, we are glad that you came back again. And those that are coming in tonight for the first time, we are excited that you are here. Okay. Right. yesterday we started talking of how we can usher in the move of God in our midst, in the church, in the community, in the nation, and in the continent and the rest of the world. The world needs to see God at work, and it is our passion and our heart for that to happen. And we are excited because God is moving in some parts of the world. Amen. And we also want to be ready for the move of God. A lot of people want to think that we are waiting for God to move, yet God is waiting for us because he has already set the stage for him to move. But I believe as a church, we are not ready for what God has in store for us. Because the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the imagination and hearts of men, you know, the things that God has laid in store for us. So it's us who are delaying the move of God. Okay, it's not God. That must be fixed. Okay, let's not try to think that God is not ready. It is us who are not ready. Okay? Even the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the church that is not ready. But he is ready to come back. But he cannot come back like in this kind of situation. Because he is coming for a triumphant church. Are we together? He is coming for a victorious church. Because all that he died for is for a people of God. So he's coming for that, and he is working, everything is working towards bringing us to that place. You know, a lot of people, and I know some here, have even asked me the same question. Why all this suffering amidst God's people? Why are we suffering? Why are we struggling? There is a lot of struggle that is happening among God's people. God's people are struggling financially. God's people are struggling in their health. God's people are struggling in their relationships. Are we together? I know a lot of my friends who are pastors who are crying. Just recently, when my son got married, then a friend got in touch with me and he says, "Alfred, I'm happy for you, but you know, I'm not rejoicing." And I said, "Why, my friend?" He says, my son, I can see it from the way he's dressing, from the way he's speaking, from the way he's conducting his life. He's drifting towards becoming gay." And I said, "Wait a minute." And he says, "Yes. There is one guy who was leading us for Scripture Union when we were in high school. His son has gone all the way out. He's gay. And he has told the parents. And it breaks the parents' heart." So, why are we having to face all this? I remember the other time I was preaching about, you know, how the eagle teaches the eaglets how to fly. You see, it's the same process that I believe God has set us on. Because when the eagle is about to lay the eggs, he looks for a very lofty place, okay? Far away from danger, far away from all these kind of things. And he takes some twigs and he makes a nest and he brings in some soft feathers and puts it there and makes it very comfortable, okay? And when he drops the egg, the egg is in comfort zone, all is well, far away from harm, far away from all these things. Remember the days you were saved. You would just pray and miracles are happening. Remember the days you were saved. You just cry and you need healing and God, boom, happens in your life and you are healed. But then a time comes when the mother eagle must teach the little one how to fly. The first thing is to remove the feathers. It removes the feathers. And this place which was comfortable becomes hard. All the twigs and all that are beginning to prick its body. And you think the mother has forgotten about the child. And then it becomes very uncomfortable. And this little one doesn't want to be in there anymore. So he picks up the little one, soars even up high. And there, up there, he drops the little one. And she comes like she's afraid, I'm going to be hurt, I'm going to fall, I'm going to do. But he's still in the watchful eye of the mother. One thing I know, she will not touch the ground. Tell somebody, we are not going to touch the ground. Whatever you are going to go, what you are going through, you are not going to touch the ground. Never. It's impossible. The mother ego is watching. What is the desire? To see this little one flip out its wings and begin to fly. So God is waiting for us to flip out our wings and begin to fly. If the little one doesn't catch it in the first attempt, it's taken again. You know, before it hits the ground, picks up and goes even higher because the mother thinks the altitude was too low for this one to. So it goes even higher and drops it from there until the little one begins to flow. So to fly. So whatever we are up against, it's not going to kill you. It's meant to teach you how to fly. Hello? So we must be ready for God's move. I want to read some scriptures that are going to lead us from into what I'm going to talk about tonight. How many are ready to hear from the Word of God? Right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Okay. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That is the message. John the Beloved is writing to the believers, to the saints like you and I, that this is the message we have heard from him. This was a message from Jesus to them, and they wanted us to hear the same message. Okay? And what is the message? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay? There is no darkness in God. So if we are in God, and God is light, why are we groveling in darkness? There are many issues of our life that are in darkness. What's the reason for the darkness? Why is it that many of us are dealing with issues they cannot understand? Why is it that many of us are battling with challenges we cannot handle? We cannot explain what is happening. Why? God is light and we are in him. Paul comes to a place where he says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. We are in him. What's the reason for the darkness? Let's hear what the Bible says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I want you to watch that, because the Bible is saying it's one thing to know the truth and yet another thing to do the truth. I've been in the church for too long a time now. There is infinity of distance between knowing the truth and doing the truth. The majority of us in the church, we do know the truth, but we are not doing the truth. This is why when I teach like this, everyone is saying amen. But after saying amen, we go out and do the opposite of what we are saying amen to. Why? Because we know it. We know this stuff. The problem is not in that we don't know. We know. The things I spoke about fellowship, we know. We know we are supposed to fellowship. And this is exactly what he says. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. So, this scripture is revealing to us why we are walking in darkness. Yet we are in God. Why? Because there is no fellowship. We are not meant to exist alone. I'm still looking for that scripture. If you find it, come and give it to me. All men for each man for himself and God for us all. Bring the scripture to me. I haven't seen it. I've been reading the Bible to find it. It's not there. Each man for himself and God for us all. God did not create us for that. God created us for interdependency. Okay? It's like firewood. You put one log in there, it doesn't burn. But it burns brighter when you put more of this. This one supplying the heat, this one supplying the heat, and then we can have a big bonfire. Why is there no bonfire in the house of the Lord? Because we are all disjointed. Each one is doing their own things. Each one believes in their own. And the difficult part is, if the light of God is not there with us, we are in darkness. And if we are in darkness, it's hard to convince us. It's very difficult. Somebody in darkness, they won't see. This is why it will take even a million years to preach, and most of us do not change. Because we are in darkness and we believe we are right. I was reading about the statistics in Zimbabwe, marriage. Same period last year, from January to this time. Last year, there were about 1,332 divorces. Same time this year, there are 3,750 divorces. Why is that happening? Because everyone believes they are right. The other one who is in trouble. In the bus, when I was coming here, I sat in between you know, a three-seater, three seats. Then there was one young man here and one young lady there, and I'm in between them. So they are talking. From when I started talking, they realized I'm Shona speaking, okay? So they are Ndebele speaking. So they decided to speak in Ndebele so that I don't hear what they are saying. And we journeyed from Harare to the border, and they are busy talking and talking, and I'm very quiet, and they think I'm not hearing anything. Now, when we had problems in the border, then we have nothing to do now. We are waiting for these things to be resolved. So they had started their conversation. The lady says, I'm a single parent. I've got a son who is 4 years. He's telling this other guy. The guy says, no, I'm also a single parent. My daughter is 2. Okay? And they're talking and they're talking. And, you know, they want to try and strike a relationship. And I'm listening. The lady's saying, no, you guys, in most of these troubles we face, it is the men who are bad. The men always start these problems. This is what the lady is saying. And then this young man is saying, no, it's not like that. The problem is that you women cannot be satisfied. The mother of my child, whichever money you give here, I'm working and I get only 6,000 rand. And, you know, after paying rentals where we stay, I would remain with 4,000 and I give here. In the evening, I come back from home. Out of the 4,000, she has just bought 4 dresses, 1,000 each, and we have nothing to eat at home. The lady says, no, it's about you men with your phones. You don't want to share your phones. And you have a lot of girlfriends around there. And if you listen to the conversation, you think, hey, who, each one of them is right in their sense. But how are we going to have our marriages work if this is the case? Okay, so when we sat and then I said, okay, guys, this is what we were busy with. I started telling them exactly what they are saying, and they said, hey, old man, how can you do that? We were enjoying our conversation and we didn't know you were hearing us. And I said, no, I stayed and went in blue. I know how to speak Ndebele. Then I started speaking in Ndebele with them. And we had a beautiful conversation. But what am I saying? This is the challenge when we come together and there is no fellowship and we are all in darkness. Each one believes they are right in their way. And they expect the other one to change. If it's in marriage and you are expecting your spouse to change, then you have a big problem. The change must begin with you. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. About the speck and the boom and the beam. This says you cannot take away the speck out of somebody's eye until you first take out the beam in your eye so that you can see clearly. So the first port of call in any challenge is you must look critically at yourself. Hello? And you want us to come and prophesy to you. And if these issues are not addressed, all the prophecies will come to the ground. Nothing will materialize. Does prophecy work? Yes, it works. But there is the problem. We are in darkness. Why? Because we do not have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is not cleansing us from all sins. Did you know that if we lack fellowship, then we are gripping in sin? Fellowship helps the blood of Jesus to work in our midst. Did you hear that? And you think God is all concerned about you and you only? No. God is concerned about us all. Did you know that if you fellowship with somebody, you come to a place where you begin to understand their perspective, how they look at things. You begin to understand their worldview. You begin to understand how they behave the way they are behaving. When I was born, my father was in a detention camp because of politics. And I was born when he was already in prison. And I never came to a place in the home where I had my father and mother in the same house, because that led to the breaking up of the family, with my father away in prison and my mother out. And when my father came back, my mother had already moved on, had another husband. So I then was subjected to what each one of them would say, because, you know, at one time staying with my mother, at the other time I stay with my father. And then my father is saying this about my mother is saying this about my father. Okay? He is sharing with me from his perspective. My mother is sharing from her own perspective. And I'm trying to understand the challenge from this. But then, as I grew up, I came out of their perspective and tried to understand what really happened. And then from that position, I understood what happened. And it helped me to heal from what I believed my father had messed up in my life. I started getting healing. Because all of a sudden, I came out of the darkness of their struggles. And I was in the light and was able to see what really went on, making my own conclusions, because I was now in the light. I was no longer in the darkness of their struggle. And I made peace. I understood why my father was that angry with my mother. And I understood why my mother had to behave the way she behaved. Fellowship with one another will help us to come out of the darkness in which we draw conclusions from. If we fellowship, then I understand why she behaves the way she behaves. Because I'm fellowshipping with her. I'm fellowshipping with her. I see the world from her perspective. I understand the dynamics that are happening in her life. And then all of a sudden I begin to understand why she is like that. The other year, in 2007, we were in a conference in Switzerland, a conference that would go for 3 weeks, and we are all there with guys from around the world. Some were coming from America, some were coming from Africa, some were coming from Asia, and we are all involved in this thing. Then we discovered that there is this one particular girl from the United States. She's born. The father was like me, okay? And the mother was like her. You understand? So from the cultural differences and the what have you, the marriage never lasted. And during that time of that marriage, the father became very abusive, beating up the mother and all that. And the mother would shout at this man. And so we are involved with this girl who grew up in that environment. One thing she could not stand was seeing people shouting at each other. If people shout, then the next day, you know you are not going to see her. She's locking herself up in a room and crying. And crying. And crying. And then I got very disturbed and I said, Lord, how can we help this lady? What is it? Why when something happens, when people are angry, when people raise their voices, somehow she draws into a cocoon and closes herself out. Then the Lord said, it's about her background. You need to deliver her from that. Then I said, Lord, it's not about the shouting that she witnessed yesterday. Then the Lord says, no. That shouting only triggered things from her past. It's not about that. Then he sat down and says, okay, Tina, you must let me know. What is it? Then he shared her background. The moment people would shout, she was flip back to that where the father is beating the mother. The mother is saying stuff. So her behavior is coming from what she went through. Instead of looking at her as the source of the problem, at that time I discovered circumstances beyond her put her in that situation. But we could not come to a place of ministering to her without this time of fellowship where we had to sit and talk and discuss how she grew up, how things, and then all of a sudden I understood how she looked at life. And this is the challenge that happens in the church. We are all coming from different backgrounds. We are coming from places where some never experienced love. We are coming from places where some have been abused and they come to the house of God. And we are supposed to accomplish a mission together. We are supposed to do God's work together. God is supposed to work with us and touch Polokwane. So what are we going to choose? Are we going to choose to continue in our differences? Or we are going to look at this whole thing and say, God help us. And we walk together. And we work together. Let's go to verse number 9 of the same script. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, this is all coming out from a position where we have to fellowship one with another, and which allows the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. Okay? And we are coming out of all this mess that has come upon our lives. Why? Because we are fellowship and we are one with the other and we are moving. You know, the Bible says, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word in us. Let's go to verse 11. Praise God. Let's go to verse 11 of the same chapter. First John 1, verse 11. Okay. Can somebody read it there from the Bible? Okay. Okay. There's no 11. Sorry? To verse 10. Okay. Okay. So if we are allowing God to help us in the area of confessing our sins, then at the end of the day we come to the light of all that we are doing, of all that we are involved in, then we come to the light, and when we come to the light, then we become the house that God wants to visit. Because sin hinders. The Bible says it's not that God has not heard your prayers, but it is your sin that has shortened the hand of God from touching your life. We pray and we don't see God touching our lives. Why? Because our sin has stopped the hand of God. Sin short circuits the power of God. And at the end of the day, it's the same thing with us. We want to see the hand of God in church. So if we want to see that, let's have fellowship and let sin be dealt with. Let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin. And then we can see God move in our midst. Somebody has answered the question. Why is it that in the early church, guys who would lie, they would die? Huh? Do we know that was happening? Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their property and they came to the house of God. The husband comes and says to Peter, Peter asks, is this all that you have received from your house, the sale of your house? And he says, yes, sir, this is all. And the Bible says he dropped dead because he said a lie. 3 hours later, the wife comes. He says, what your husband said, is it true? He says, yes, yes, that's all. We brought everything here. And he says, look at the feet of the young man that carried your husband for burial. And as she's looking there, she drops dead. And somebody says, why was it God would deal with them like that in that early church? If he comes and does that with the church today, everyone will be killed by the presence of God. So God is merciful. He doesn't want to wipe us all out. If he was going to do what he did there, then everyone is going to die. Every single one of us. Jesus experienced that, and they brought the woman who was caught in adultery. And they said to Jesus, "Master, this one has been caught in adultery. The law says we must take the stones and stone them." And Jesus knelt down and he started writing on the ground. And he says, "Any one of you that is with no sin, let them cast the first stone." And he continued to write. When he raised his hand, there was nobody. So why are we hard on others? Why? House of Ministries, I will repeat and repeat and say this. I have seen a move of God coming into this house. But God wants us to deal with these things first. He wants his light to shine brighter in this house. We must do ourselves a favor. It's either we have to hold on to our ways and close God out, or we are going to humble ourselves and open up to his ways. Even as you are seated there, I want you to ask Holy Spirit to examine your heart. How do you deal with others? How do you deal with others? May God help us. We have others that have come into the house of the Lord. We do ministry in Africa. I tell you, there are a lot of challenges we face, and one of these challenges is about children who come to church and they are coming from polygamous families. They are very jealous because the environment in which they grew up is an environment of competition with their mothers and their, you know, and their father who has got five wives. And these children are coming from this place and they are rushing to the house of God. And when they come to the house of God, all they know is to fight. They must fight for attention. They must fight for all these things. And when they come to the house of God, are you going to judge them and close them out there? Because they come in that raw state. And they want to be touched by the love of God for them to change. what I'm talking about. And I know what it takes. Because when they come like that, and there are women who are coming like that, they feel rejected. Because when they are married, the husband, she thought she was the apple of this man's heart. And 2 years down the line, he brings another wife. And 3 years down the he brings another. And these ladies become bigger. And you come and you preach the gospel to them. And all of a sudden, they come to church. And they come with their bitterness. They come with their anger. They come with all this. And they're seated in the pool. And they in the pews. And they want to relate with others. And all they know is bitterness and anger. And they are part of our congregation. How do you handle that? May God help us. How do we treat the others that are coming in our midst? The world has given them wounds. The world has given them pain. And they are coming to the house of the Lord. How are we going to handle that? I've battled with the Lord. When Dr. Harry says to me, Alfred, you are coming to the Lord, I tried to look for messages that would please you. And God says, no. You are not going to go and do that. Go and speak to my people. I can come here and tell you that, hey, God wants to bless you financially. You are coming out of all your financial problems. And you're going, yeah, very happy. But at the end of the day, you are going to give pain to somebody who is coming into the house of the Lord. So before that happens, God has to deal with us so that we can be carriers of His grace. That's the message. John is saying that's the message that we have received from Him. That God is light. In Him there is no darkness. If there is no darkness in God, why then are we gripping in darkness and yet we are in the house of God? It's us who have invited darkness into our lives. And it's our responsibility to take out the darkness so that the light of God can shine in our hearts and in the house of God. Is somebody hearing me? One guy was asking me, Pastor, why is it that when somebody has just come to the Lord, it's easy for them to receive miracles? When somebody has just come to the Lord, it's easy for them to receive miracles. He says, why is that so? He says, what do you mean? He says, hey, Pastor, when I was just saved, I was praying for a job and God gave me a job. I prayed for the healing and God healed me. Why is it now it's hard for me to pray and things happen in our life? And I said, no, when you came to the Lord, there was a lot of light until you allowed the darkness in the church to fill your heart. And that darkness is short-circuiting the power of God. All of a sudden you become part of the church politics. You become part of all these things. All these things, what they serve to do in your life is to cloud your heart with darkness. May God help us. If you were, when you were a new believer, you were blind to all these things. All you wanted was the Lord. I remember when I was saved, all I wanted was to read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm telling you the truth, the hunger that came into my heart. I shut myself out and started reading the whole Bible. And I was saying to my mother, how come you were keeping this book in this house and you never taught me how to make use of it? And I started reading it right through, from Genesis to Revelation. And I had a passion for prayer. I wanted to pray. I wanted to talk to the Lord. I wanted to... And gradually, as we continued, I discovered that most of the challenges, if you're not careful, they will come from the house of the Lord. This is why the Bible says, judgment shall begin in the house. If the righteous are scarcely saved, what will be the case of the unrighteous? Why is God starting from his house? Huh? Why is the coin lost in the house? You have heard about that parable? Huh? The parable of the lost coin. You see, my sister Rosa, you are busy teaching them to travel from continent and through galaxies, but they don't know this, the parable of the lost coin. Such simple stuff. And how is the coin lost in the house? Because the Bible says the widow has lost the coin in the house. It's not lost outside, it's lost inside. And we have a lot of lost coins in the house of God. And what is needed is to take a broom and sweep and do a thorough job. And I've come to do a thorough job in the house of God. Examine your heart. The Bible says this widow will not rest until she turns everything upside down. And you need to turn everything upside down in your heart. How have you allowed bitterness to drop your hands down? This is what bitterness will do. If you become bitter of your brethren, you cannot even raise your hands to worship God. Because this one is eating you out. God help us. Let us allow the light of God to shine in our hearts. Because God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. And when you are in that darkness, you cannot see everything. Even where you are wrong, you cannot even see it. I had a couple that became very good friends of me. And I used to take them to mission trip in Mozambique and we'd go there. I never sat to find out how they had come to serve the Lord. And they had a growing ministry in Harare. Until one day when we had the wife preach in our conference. And she shared a brief of her testimony. The struggle she had with the husband. The husband was a serious drunkard, not serving God, and she was serving God. And every evening, you will come to the house dead, drunk. And she says, I used to shout like no man's business, because we were in every kind of problems, in serious debts, in children with no food and nothing, and this man was drinking like a fish. And she says, the more I shouted, the more he got worse. He actually got worse. Until one day when the friends brought him to the house in his drunken stupor. And then he just came and they said, here is your husband. And they left. And he says, he was not even able to stand on his own. And she says, I realize even if I was to shout, it had no impact because the man was too drunk to hear anything. So he says, instead, I picked him up and took him nicely, put him on the bed. Early next morning, she prepared some nice pap, because she wasn't sure if this man had eaten, and gave him some pap. After he woke up, took him to the bathroom and said, the husband did get a bath and came out and ate. And then as he was eating, he says, who spoke to you this time? And says, about what? He says, how did I get into bed? And he says, no, I took you to bed because you were too drunk. And then he says, and all this that you are doing, what has happened to you? And the wife says, nothing has happened to me, but I've realized I cannot help you. My shouting cannot help you. But at the end of the day, we just have to leave, because I have no option. I must do this for my children. And then this was a Saturday morning. And then the whole day he didn't go to the beer hall. He was at home. Early next morning he says, please make sure my best clothes are okay. I'm going to you with you to church. And they went to church, and that was the day he gave his life to the Lord. And they started serving the Lord together. At what point did it change? When the woman changed the attitude. How am I going to bring meaningful change in her life? I must change my attitude. I must stop being judgmental and change my attitude towards their life. Even as you are seated there, I want you to begin to engage the Lord. Begin to engage the Lord. Ask the Lord, Father, where have I missed it with my brethren? What is it that I have said, done, that has cause things to be like this? Help me, Lord, in the area of fellowship. Because when we do fellowship, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord help us tonight. In the name of Jesus, let us allow the searchlight of God to work in us. Tonight, it's not about anybody else. Tonight, it's about you and God. Allow God to examine you. Like the psalmist says, examine me, O Lord. If there are some hidden sins in me, reveal them, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Move over our hearts. Bring conviction. Bring conviction. In the area where the devil has beguiled us, I pray that we can see things properly. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we deal with every spirit of deception. The enemy deceives us and makes us see things not from their proper perspective. We come against every spirit of deception. We bind it off God's people's lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we received one baptism in the body of Jesus Christ. We were baptized by Holy Spirit to be one body. And Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Lord, we have a purpose, we have a mandate. As a house from you, you want your light in our midst to shine in the city of Polokwane. You want it to shine in South Africa. You want it to shine in the rest of the continent. And, oh Father, to the uttermost parts of the world. We want to be vessels of honor in your hands. We want to be vessels of honor. Father, let nothing of the devil, oh Father, stop us from getting to the place where you want us to be. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would help us all, Father, as we await your, Father, visitation, when you are welcoming your move in our midst. Let there be nothing on our party that will stop you from moving. We want to be conscious of your power. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just begin to pray where you are. What? Talk to God. Pray through what we have been saying. Just talk to God as you are seated there. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just talk to God. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Be personal with God. Be very personal with God. Be personal with Him. Be personal with Him. Let the focus be on you. Let His focus be on you. Let His focus be on your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Allow God to minister to you. You will discover there are some who reach out to you to make peace. Don't harden your heart. Open up. Allow the power of the Lord to flow through your life. Every action, let it be viewed from the proper perspective. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for restoring relationships. I thank you for restoring, oh Father, Even those that are battling in their marriages, I pray for restoration of relationship. Let love and harmony flow through their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Allow God to minister. Holy Spirit, minister in our hearts. Father, I pray for the restoration of the marriages, relationships. Father, husband, wives. Oh, Father, bring them to that place. Oh, Father, of love, harmony. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Families, I pray. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Neighbors, Lord, even those of the household of faith, let animosity go in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, minister sweetness, minister love. Father, as your word says, the love of God is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let the love of God be poured in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And let the anger and the bitterness, O Father, of the enemy be taken out in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We break the hold of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for restoring fellowship in this house. Thank you for restoring fellowship. Thank you for igniting the fires of fellowship in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. May our hearts burn again with the love of God. That desire that has taken us to go out and minister the love of God to so many. Let it burn again in our hearts. Let us seek the good of the brethren. In the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to be seekers of the good of the brethren. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you.
Karabashi.